Amen. How are we? If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and while you're turning there, I want to remind you why we exist as a church. We exist to connect people to Jesus, His truth, His family, and His mission. And the primary way that we do that is through small groups, and because we are unable to sit down face-to-face and have our small groups, it's really difficult for us, and you know, Scripture speaks of not neglecting to meet together, and I want you to know, I say this every time I do a Facebook Live or every time I preach, we miss you. We miss you, and we long for the day that we are able to be together and to corporately worship again, and we are looking for ways to improve what we do during this season. We are looking for ways to improve our live streaming, our interaction, and one of the things that we're going to do differently this week is we want you to message in any questions that you might have concerning anything that you see today, anything that we talk about in the text. If you will message your questions today, either on the Facebook Live, either on the comments, or send them directly to us, then at 7 o'clock tonight, I'll do a Facebook Live, and I'll talk through the questions that you have. And so tonight at 7 o'clock, join us for Facebook Live, but only if you send in your questions. I know you don't want to just see me to be seeing me, and so we want to address any questions that you might have, so that's a way that we can interact. Well, as more cases of this coronavirus are reported every day, and especially here in Oklahoma, and it starts to hit closer to home, fear begins to escalate. Fear increases as we consider the fact that those that we know, or maybe even ourselves, might be diagnosed with this virus. And so it causes fear, it causes anxiety, and even looking to the future, looking beyond even the sickness, there's no mistaking the fact that probably some people that we know, probably even some of us, may die as a result of this coronavirus. And so you have the fear creeping in, the anxiety creeping in because of that, and also we have the grief beyond that. I was talking this week with a pastor who a family member had died, and they were unable to conduct a funeral. I've read on Facebook where people were sick and in the hospital, and they're unable to go and see their loved ones even at the very end of their lives, and just this grief that will accompany what we are experiencing and even grow within the next couple of weeks. And there's these temptations on to feel and to act a certain way that we're going to talk about this morning. We're talking about temptations, how we can address temptations during this time. And when we think of temptations, probably the first thing that comes to our mind is something that satisfies the flesh. We tend to think of maybe sexual sins, maybe lust, maybe pornography whenever we're thinking about temptations, or maybe we think of substance abuse, the abuse of alcohol or drugs or prescription drugs, or maybe when we think of temptations, we think of gambling, and there's just a host of things that we think, or maybe it's none of those things. Maybe for us personally, maybe the temptation is the temptation to gossip or to slander or to be critical towards other people's, in other words, something to make ourselves feel better. And so I mentioned a few common temptations, but if I were to go on and continue to list temptation after temptation after temptation, sooner or later, we'll land on whatever it is that you find yourself most tempted by. Well, Scripture is going to address temptation in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, and here's what it says. This is Jesus talking. It says, "He said to His disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come." And so Jesus doesn't skirt around the fact that we are going to face temptations to sin, temptations to stumble. And certainly during this time, during this pandemic, we have some unique temptations that maybe we haven't experienced maybe in other times of our lives. And so I want to talk about some unique temptations during COVID-19. And the first temptation that we might be tempted by during this time is to just go about life sort of this business as usual type attitude. In other words, the temptation is not to take any precautions, just to go about life, business as usual, just doing the same things that we do day in, day out. And here, and the reasoning we have behind this temptation to go about business as usual is that maybe people are just overreacting. Maybe the government, maybe the healthcare workers, maybe they're overreacting. Maybe it's not as difficult. Maybe this is not as bad as the picture that they're painting. Maybe it's just like the flu, and maybe this isn't difficult at all. And so maybe the temptation is business as usual because we just think this is a conspiracy or people are overreacting. Or maybe we go about business as usual because our reasoning is, well, I'm healthy. If something happens to me, maybe I'll be sick, but probably what's going to happen to me if I get sick is just these mild symptoms, just like a cold, just like the flu, and then I'm going to get over it. And so maybe the temptation for us during this time is to go about just business as usual, but I want to remind you that if we go about life business as usual, then all we're going to do is risk the lives of those, predominantly the elderly, or maybe those who are vulnerable. We will risk their lives if we go about business as usual. But that's one of the temptations, to just treat every day the same, just make no changes at all. Here's another temptation that we face during this time, during the COVID-19 pandemic. The second temptation we face is just sort of this idea of circling the wagons and just sort of going into panic mode. And listen, we're not talking about compliance. We're not talking about being smart, but we're talking about decisions, circling the wagons, decisions that are driven by fear and selfishness. You know, just this week, this past week, and I was at Walmart shopping and just seeing some of our senior adults not even able to purchase really any of the necessities that they have to have to survive. You know, I saw a picture on Facebook that one of my friends put on, and one of our senior adults had a near empty cart just staring at empty shelves. And all we're doing if we circle the wagons and stock up and just sort of go overboard on this, is all we're doing is we're going to increase the times that the vulnerable will need to be out to go try to find whatever they need to survive. You know, as we circle the wagons, one of the temptations, one of the things that we tend to display is a lack of compassion for other people. And you know, we stock up, we circle the wagons. Maybe we have resources. Maybe we're not one of those who have lost or will lose their job. And maybe the mentality for us, maybe the temptation for us is just to go, at least I have my resources, at least I have my stuff. And we just lack compassion, all because we are tempted to circle the wagons and stock up and display a lack of compassion. Well, the Word is going to tell us not to do that. Whenever we're tempted to sin, when we're tempted to stumble, not to do that. Verse 1 is going to say, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. In other words, what Jesus is getting at is, hey, don't allow temptations to sin, or don't allow temptations to stumble. Don't let it come through God's people. Can I remind you that people are watching everything that we do? You know, this past week, I had the privilege to sit with my family and watch the night of prayer that Governor Stitt put on. We had some pastors throughout the state that got to share, got to pray and do some things. And my heart was just uplifted, just being able to sit and participate in that. And you know, I wonder how many people, both inside the church and outside the church, saw that. I wonder how many people who are not believers, who are fearful now, who are searching now. I wonder how many saw that. And maybe they're being introduced to Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, for the very first time. Can I tell you that people are watching how we respond during this time? People are watching what we do. They're looking at our posts on Facebook, those who claim to know Christ. Can I remind you that your kids are watching, your grandkids are watching how you respond? And if we buy into the temptation, this fear-based mentality or this selfish mentality, can I tell you that your kids, that your grandkids are going to replicate that? And so the warning here, the warning in this passage is not that he's not surprising anyone by saying temptations are going to come. But he's saying, woe, woe to the ones through whom they come. You see, believer, we have a chance during this time to show the world who we hope in, to show the world who we put our faith, who we put our trust in. Yes, be smart. Yes, be wise during this time. But we have the opportunity to show the world who Jesus is. And he warns, he says, don't be one through whom temptation comes to maybe cause someone else to fall. Look what Jesus is going to say in verse 2. So it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. During this time for us, the challenge is not to contribute to the panic. To not to contribute to the sinfulness, to the selfishness. People are going to follow us. Especially if we speak of the hope that we have in Christ, if we point people to Christ, they're going to look to see if our words match up with our actions. And the challenge of this text is for people to follow us as we lead them to Christ, not into sin. Not into selfishness, not into bitterness, not into fearfulness. Instead, I propose that we contribute to sacrificial living, to contribute to generosity, to contribute to gospel advance, to contribute to show the world that we have hope in Jesus. It's a strong wording here in verse 2. It says if we don't, if we instead contribute to people stumbling, to people sinning during this time, it says it'd be better for a millstone to be tied around that person's neck and them cast into the sea than to cause people. It speaks of little ones, not just children, but those younger in the faith to cause anyone to stumble at this time. We're called to show the world the hope of Jesus. The question becomes how? And particularly if we are those who are prone to being anxious, or maybe we're prone to fear, or maybe we're prone to selfishness, like maybe that's what's part of our sinful nature. The question is, how do we contribute to showing them Christ? How do we avoid causing other people to fall at this time? How do we avoid temptation during this time? I want to give you four things to consider. Four things that we can do if we're going to resist temptation. The first temptation was to go about business as usual, act like this is no big deal, a conspiracy theory, way out of proportion. Here's what we can do to combat that temptation. Number one, we can comply. We can comply with what the health industry, the healthcare workers, the health experts are saying. We can social distance. We can embrace this, and we should at this time. That's how we combat the temptation to go about business as usual, is to comply with what the experts are saying at this time. But what if the temptation is to circle the wagons and to go beyond complying and just more this fear-based circle the wagons? Here's what we can do to resist that temptation. We can care for the sick. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that we need to invade the homes of those who are sick, but listen, if you are showing the symptoms of coronavirus and it's mild, or maybe it's even getting a little bit, it's progressing, listen, you don't need to be out grocery shopping. You don't need to be out filling your prescriptions, buying medication. You don't need to be out running errands. You don't need to be going to the post office. You know who can do that for you? We can. And one of the ways we resist the temptation to just circle the wagons and live in fear is to go and care for the sick, to bring them the things that they need, to bring them groceries, to bring them medication, to bring them their mail and such. Here's a way that we resist the temptation to circle the wagons. We care for those who have lost or will lose their job. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it paints the picture of this church who was willing, that individuals were willing to carry the burdens of those who had nothing. That if someone was in need, that they would use their own possessions, seeing them not as my resources, but as resources that God has entrusted me to care for other people. You know, maybe we buy groceries not for the sick. Maybe we do it for those who lost their job. Maybe we pay a bill for someone who lost their job. A great illustration of this, Sam at Bulldog Pizzas is baking 600 pizzas today to give out to the community starting at noon today as a way to care for those and to sow hope into our community. That's how we resist the temptation to circle the wagons. Here's a way that we resist the temptation to circle the wagon. We care for those who are emotionally distraught at this time. I mentioned that we live in a world that is fearful at this time. We live in a world that is or will grieve the loss of those that they love. We live in a world where verbal abuse and physical abuse happens in the home. We live in a world where husband and wives who have been social distancing from each other now all of a sudden are forced to be together in the home. And there's fear, and there's worry, and there's stress. Maybe during this time, rather than circle the wagons, we get active calling those that we know, checking on them. Maybe we do our own Facebook Lives or our own Zoom meetings in our small group so we can stay connected. Our community needs us at this time. The temptation is just to go about life as normal or to circle the wagons and just completely withdraw. Let me encourage you, church, don't do that. Yes, social distance. Yes, don't be around people with the groups of 10 or more. Don't go against that. Embrace that. But don't shut yourself so off so much that you neglect to care for those who are in need. Look what verse 3 is going to go on to say. It's going to say, pay attention to yourself. In other words, examine yourself. Don't have the temptation to be like, oh, I hope my wife's listening. I hope my husband's listening. I hope so-and-so's listening. What about me? Where do I fit in this challenge of not causing anyone else to stumble? Jesus says in verse 3, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. See, during this time, more than ever, we need to be able to encourage one another. We need to hold each other accountable. We have the opportunity to model who Jesus is and what he's about. In Isaiah chapter 58, God gives a picture of his heart for people, and it says that he is coming to set the oppressed free, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to bring in the homeless. In Luke 4, we read this last year, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says that I have come to fulfill what Isaiah prophesied in that chapter. We have the opportunity to join him in this, to hold each other accountable, to not write each other off when we fall, but to encourage each other to get back up and to continue to pursue and model Christ. Now look how he ends in verse 4. It says, if he sins against you 7 times in the day. Now that's hard for us, because if someone sins against us once, we have a hard time forgiving them for any amount of time. I mean, we're bitter till the end. But But it says if someone sins against you seven times in that day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. What's interesting is Jesus starts out by encouraging us not to cause others to sin. And he ends with how we respond if someone sins against us. See, we have a tendency to blame others and to hold that against them and let that grow into bitterness. Now, one of the things this last week, right or wrong, I'm not trying to get political, but one of the things our president has done is he's blamed China, and I've seen articles, China needs to be held accountable, and they need to pay, and they need to do all these things. It's just who we are, our ability to blame others when something happens. Let me ask, who are we going to blame at this time? If someone you love gets sick and you've done everything right, who are you going to blame? If you go to the store trying to find toilet paper and the aisle is empty and you see someone that's got 88 rolls in their cart, how are you gonna respond towards them? With blame? See, the text says to forgive. You know, I've always found it odd, and probably just thought people are downright lying whenever they say something to the effect of, I would never change anything about my life. And I'm thinking, well, I would. As I think of the people that I've hurt along the way, the stupid things that I've said, the sinful things that I've done, if I could go back and relive that and do it right, I would do it in a heartbeat. There's a lot I change about things in my past. You know, forgiveness does something to our hearts. Now, I spent 5 years in a praise and worship band, and during that time, lots of people came into the band and left the band, and I myself eventually left, and it continued. But early on, there was a little bit of a rift between the band members, myself and another guy, and maybe these different sides. And it's true what everybody says about bands not getting along. It's just happened. It's just reality. And we were 18, 19 at the time, and I said and did some childish things, and the other party said and did some childish things, and then we sort of went our separate way and kind of forgot about it. But years later, I was in pastoral ministry, and this other guy was in pastoral ministry. And we'd seen each other, and it'd been fine. But we were at Falls Creek at a men's retreat. And they called all the pastors down to be ready to receive and pray for the men that had come with them if they needed to make a decision. And before that happened, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I turned, and it was this guy who we had a conflict with. And he said, I just want you to know something. He said something to the effect, I've forgiven you, and I hope you forgive me for what was said, what was done way back then. And can I tell you that there was a weight lifted off my shoulder that I didn't even know was there whenever I forgave and reciprocated by asking him to forgive me. There's two parts of this text. It is the challenge not to cause others to sin, to stumble, and to be willing and ready to forgive those who sin against us. Here's why I think that's important. Because forgiveness models what Jesus has done for us. Now, I think of that event with the guy in the band. And that's nothing compared to the sin that I've sinned against my Savior. But he pursued me. even in my sin. And he rescued me and forgave me and set me free. Listen, I don't know. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what sin you've been a part of this week. I don't know about the skeletons that you have in your closet maybe a decade ago that continue to haunt you. But I know that Jesus came and died for us so that we could be forgiven. That the sin that we carry, the shame that we carry, he came to set us free from. So church, this week, my challenge is to consider, are you walking in a way that doesn't contribute towards other people's sin? Or are you leading other people down that path, the path of sin? Heed the text and turn from that and be the one that sows hope and points people to Jesus. Maybe you need to go to someone and ask for forgiveness today. Maybe you need to forgive someone today. Listen, when we do so, we model what Christ has done for us. And Ephesians 2 talks about how hostility is broken down. That exists first and foremost between us and God when forgiveness happens. But also us and each other. That the wall of hostility is broken down between brother and brother, sister and sister, brother and sister in Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it's appropriate for us every day. And God, if we're as we try to be mindful of specific temptations that we're experiencing during this pandemic, God, may we lead others away from sin and towards you. May we model forgiveness because you forgave us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.